15 seconds, okay. So, we have a quorum? So I'm gonna call the meeting to order August 3rd, 23, for the True Commission. We got, I mean, this is a quorum. Right? We got a quorum here, right? Okay. Let me start off by recognizing folks, if you want to start with Mr. Carter down there.
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
Kim Pryor, Commissioner.
And let me interject and say this is Kim, she's the newest Commissioner, and this is her first meeting to attend as such, and congratulations.
Urban Core CPAC.
Bruce Tyson, South, it's on. Bruce Tyson, Southwest CPAC.
Charles Barr, appointed by the President and Vice Chairman.
Raymond Day, Southeast CPAC.
Thelma Roundsville, Northwest CPAC.
Jeff Clements, Council Research.
Daniel Henry, True Commission.
Good to have you. Well, welcome, everybody. I know it's been a, what's been, six or 2 months, or it's been quite a while. Is that long? Is that long? So, everybody got the minutes? Has everybody read the minutes?
I move that the minutes be approved with any necessary corrections.
There's been a motion made. Is there a second for the minute?
Second.
All in favor for the minutes to be accepted?
This is for June, correct?
Yes.
So, do you list visitors at the, where you say also?
No, I don't. I attach the...
Sign-in sheet.
Attach the sign-in sheet to the minutes.
Do you not have one?
Not this one.
Oh.
That's what you just gave out, right?
Yeah. In the council file, I attach the sign-in sheet.
Okay.
And if, in the mail, I don't know if you got the, usually in the mail-outs, they also come, I think, because I had it. So, yeah, it is attached. Somebody particular, or just for you?
Well, I was at that meeting.
You were.
And it's mentioned later on that I made comments, but I wasn't listed in the attendees.
Okay.
That was my question.
Yeah, and your signature is here on the file. Is there any more? So all in favor for the minutes be approved?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, minutes are approved for June 23. There is no public comment. Auditor's report. Mr. Carter, do you want to? Now, let me ask you. So since this audit team has been vacant for a while now, it's here, do you go ahead and read yours, and I give my recommendation, or do it ahead of time, or how did y'all do it?
I won't go into it as...
Okay, all right.
And you can, if anyone has any questions, of course, I'll answer.
Okay. Give my opinion? Okay.
Through the chair to the commission, the Council Auditor's Office released four reports since the last True Commission meeting. Report number 869, Public Works Construction Related Vendors. Was released on June 6th, 2023. Report number 763C, which is a follow-up on the JTA payroll audit, was released on June 7th. This was the... This was the third follow-up on this payroll audit, and all items were cleared in this report. Report number 870, which is the Public Works Department Public Buildings Division Security Contract Audit, was released on June 14th of 2023. And report number 871, of Procurement Audit as Informal Purchases of Supplies, was released on June 26th, 2023. Another note regarding Council Auditor's Office, we're currently working on year 23, 24 proposed budget. Also, Finance Committee budget hearings begin on August 10th. See any audits next month or so. report.
Has everybody read these audits?
I have.
So has anybody got any comments on them?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, then I'll give my comment on them.
The comments that I had mainly were on 869 and 870. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to the audit committee meeting, but I was very frustrated going through this, partly because I do procurement as my profession, and to see some of the weaknesses that were identified within the report were really surprising to me, partly because I know that between Public Works and procurement, they try to do their best to try to make sure that we're on the up and up, but there are definitely a lot of deficiencies that I thought should be addressed. I know they have that pending piece of legislation that's going to overhaul the procurement code, that hopefully that will bring some improvements, but some of the things in particular I thought that were really glaring is that it didn't seem like there wasn't any kind of like standard terms and conditions for any of the contracts that they were using. It was when certain issues were addressed in terms of things that were either being left out of contracts or something that Public Works or Procurement said that they wanted to explore with the General Counsel's office, it led me to believe that there wasn't a standard contract that they were using for some of these types of projects, particularly when you're talking about Public Works, which I would assume there's a consistency in the types of things that they would be addressing. But in addition to that, the fact that there wasn't any policies or procedures for how a lot of these public works managers were kind of interacting with the third-party consultants that they were kind of using to check off their work kind of led to more questions in my mind in terms of how they were doing it now. I think a lot of times when we talk to some city departments, a lot of people are really tenured, they're experienced, they have been with the city for a number of years and decades, but eventually that knowledge is going to walk out the door, and it doesn't seem that there is a global effort within the city to try to get that written down. Hopefully them agreeing to do policies and procedures will work, but one thing that I thought was particularly crazy to me as like an antidote to that was when they spoke about approving change orders that were occurring after a contract expired, and they were trying to come up with a solution to that. Their response was, well, let's just change what contract expiration means, which for anyone who deals with contracts is just a wild connotation to kind of think about, but that was their explanation to it. So I just think there's a serious lack of a citywide effort to try to manage contract administration on a department-to-department basis. If you work for the state or any kind of other governmental entity, and I'll use the state of Florida, for example, people that are responsible for contracts have to be specifically designated a contract manager or a contract administrator, and then they're required by state statute to have a required training that they're supposed to do every 2 to 3 years to certify that they know how to manage a contract. I went through the procurement code and the municipal code up until the new piece of legislation that's been introduced. There's no mention of contract administration outside of KHA. So it's really up to the department to make sure that whoever is responsible for a contract knows what they're doing, and that's where you kind of see some of these deficiencies. So at some point, I would love for us to be able to talk to the chief of procurement to try to get an understanding in terms of how they manage that process or potentially could manage that process and what helpful advice we could give to make that a lot better. But those
you
are my
found more than me. I did find we went over the one on page 23 about the you probably had it highlighted also, the
869 or 870.
Wait, which one are you? 869, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. per city about, you know, about reports submitted. Basically, they had had nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've seen all, and we comment, and the auditor department has talked. They've commented on all these things. Hopefully, they'll adhere to them.
Well, can I follow up on that one? Because I did have a question on that. You reminded me.
Which report are you on?
869, on page 23 and 24. I was following when the city passed the gas tax extension to help fund some public work projects. And one of the things I believe Councilman Jacoby Pittman, Councilman Freeman, and Councilman Gaffney really tried to get into the overall bill was more refined requirements regarding JSEB subcontractors and contractors, so that way they'd be able to get a certain amount of share of projects. And that was passed in 2021. And based on these responses, it doesn't seem like procurement or JSEB created some of the processes that were required under the ordinance. So I was curious as to why that hadn't happened.
You said that passed in 2021?
Yeah, it was 2021-117E.
Okay, the scope for this audit was October 1, 16 through September 30, 2020.
Got it. Addressed it. Did they make mention the fact that I know some of the responses said that they were going to establish this process, so it made it seem as if the process didn't exist.
And matter of fact, procurement's response on this one was the Equal Business Opportunity Office agrees with their recommendation and will establish procedures to ensure monitoring compliance. So, we couldn't really get an explanation for the discrepancy of the final monthly report from the contractor, rates from the participation rates didn't match the rates in the spreadsheet tracked by the EBO office. So we couldn't get an explanation for that discrepancy as well. Really, I guess I know I've said it 1,000 times and you probably get tired of hearing it. Hopefully they'll have the SOPs in place when we do our follow-up. Yeah. That's and these things are, you know, when I say administration, I'm talking about generic administration, not anyone.
No, I got what you're saying.
These are administration policies that need to be put in place and things.
Well, they also, and this is not a dig towards anyone, it's just, you know, I look for patterns when I look at these reports, and they use the familiar line that I always get annoyed about in every single report of, this will be solved when iCloud is fully implemented, which is kind of like a catch-all statement because there's no timeline in terms of when it will be fully implemented. So you could say that infinitum for the next 4 years, and there'll never be a resolution. Yes, sir.
Would it maybe be appropriate now to have someone from the new administration to come in and give us their impression of iCloud and its implementation and where they think we're headed with that implementation?
Can we have them do that?
Yeah. You certainly can invite someone to come and talk to you about it. I don't know. Well, my only thought would be I don't know if you would want to give them a couple of months.
Let's
to
get
sort
to
of
the budget cycle.
Get their feet on the ground and figure out what OneCloud is and is not doing so that they could then come and talk to you intelligently.
We invite them to our November meeting.
I would say, I think. Do we go through you to do it, or does the chairman send the letter to that department? I mean, I've read through a lot of these rules. I know there's a lot of requests go through the chairman to these departments.
You could do it either way. Typically, it comes to I ask on your behalf.
Can you do that? Ask them to come to the November meeting?
Jeff, move, stories that keep you straight.
I move that we formally invite someone from the administration to come and speak to us at our November meeting to discuss the status of iCloud implementation.
So there's been a motion made and seconded to invite somebody from the OneCloud administration to come to the November meeting to have a presentation. Is there any other comment? Been a motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
I have
Aye, Gary.
I have another motion. If we're going to invite someone, is it possible for us? Can I move to invite the chief of procurement to the October meeting to talk about contract administration and the pending legislation that is before City Council to update the procurement code?
I guess you can make a motion for anything.
Yeah. Yes, second. I need a second for that.
So there's been a motion made and seconded to invite the Director of Procurement to the October meeting. Is that right?
Division Chief.
Division Chief to the October meeting. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes carry. Mr. Clements, can you make that happen? Well, this is easier than I thought. Just did you have other audits to go over?
Could you repeat that one more time, your motion?
That we invite the Division Chief of Procurement to the October meeting to discuss contract administration and the pending legislation to update the procurement code.
That is an individual in the Finance and Administration Department, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
I did. There was one thing that was bothering me, partly because I'm not an expert in construction, so I don't know as much as I don't know, but it seems weird to me that the way the process was kind of outlined, the City Council and the administration propose and adopt a CIP that includes projects that Public Works is responsible for completing. Public Works will work with procurement to put out a solicitation. Contractors will bid on it. They select a bid. They award a bid. And then they issue a notice to commence work. But the responsibility of inspecting and reviewing the work that these contractors are doing is done by a third party that reports to the city. Is there a reason why we use a third party as opposed to the city employees ourselves to inspect our own work? Because it just seems like a added layer that costs more money.
I'm not aware of the reason why. That would probably be a Public Works question. That was under that would be my guess.
We want him to just ask, or do we want to invite them to a meeting?
Well, he may be about to say something.
Mr. Carter, when Public Works releases or signs a contract for a construction-related project, I know in commercial and residential real estate, there is American Institute of Architects have a form for the contractor to present draw requests, and it's organized by CSI divisions, and I think that stands for construction section something or other. And it starts out essentially, as you would imagine, getting to the site, preparing the site, any horizontal improvements, foundation, vertical construction, drying in, then you commence all the interior build out and final. It's about a 16 or 18 division breakdown. To your knowledge, is a similar monitoring of our projects done?
My knowledge, right now, well, I wasn't involved in this audit, but I know that when I construction on it, which was a while ago, I know that the construction vendor would submit
a draw request, right.
Percentage of work complete,
right.
Done, with everything's been done. It was up to the project manager at the time to go and make sure everything's done, invoices in order, that type of thing, and approve the payment we want. That's been quite a few years ago. Somebody's looking at the draw request. But as how it's being done now, I can't tell you for sure.
I do know that they do each project, and I'm aware of that because of the Old Middle Road project. They have a person within Public Works that is assigned as a project manager, and it's his responsibility to monitor each step of their, there's two different phases in that in particular road. So he's in charge of making sure that phase one stays on track, so that phase two starts when it's supposed to go. And he's also responsible for if there's something slowing things down, find out why and get it. So he's actually in charge of that project, and all the questions concerning that come to him, and then up if he needs somebody higher up. Each project has a manager assigned who's responsible for that project from the start to the finish.
Is there a project manager or director in Public Works that's responsible for all the projects that are in process?
That I don't know.
So what's the reporting process? How do those project managers report up to the director of Public Works?
The operations manager and then the operations, I think, called director, and then to the Public Works director.
So then there's like a division head, chief, I think is the title,
mm-hmm.
for operations management. Okay. There's an operations division under Public Works Department, and then all the projects are managed under that division.
I'm not sure that's the actual name for it, but that's kind of.
Jeff, are you aware of how Public Works is organized, or Velma, do you know?
I know that. That there is a chief of operations. Is it chief of operations? Is that the title? There is an engineering division.
Right.
And I don't know to what extent. I assume the engineering division is involved in the design and engineering,
right.
of the project. Once it gets contracted out and the work is actually underway, I don't know if engineering then plays a role or if it goes then through the chief of operations.
I move that we invite someone from Public Works to our December meeting. I don't want to load us up. I think one issue per month is adequate.
Well, the one I made, that was for, I can't remember.
Procurement.
You made one cloud in November, procurement in October.
Oh, so we have September.
Yeah, September's open.
Well, I'm just trying to think of getting through the budget.
Yeah, because we don't have anything in September.
I'm just thinking of getting through the budget. Would Public Works be wrapped up in the budget to where they not be able to attend?
And I think that's why we kind of skipped it anyway, because of the budget.
I think Jeff just shook his head.
The budget hearings will be completed in August.
Okay. All right. Could we? I move that we invite someone from Public Works Department, either the new director or the appropriate division chief, to come and discuss with us how these contracts are administered.
I would suggest the director, because I think we'll get a broader sense of the department as a whole, and there's some things that if we get someone that maybe a division chief under him may not be able to answer.
That's fine. And we can invite him to bring any division chiefs, because this person may be a new individual. That's what my impression is, that there will be a new director of public works. I don't know where they are in that process, but so I would like to, my motion is to invite the director of public works and a designated subordinate to come and speak to us at the September meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
So there's a motion made and seconded to invite the director of public works and a subordinate to come to the September meeting.
I'm sorry.
Wait, is it on the motion?
No, it's about public works, but it's not about this particular motion.
So is there any comment about the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, the motion carries. Mr. Pryor?
I did want to just offer some personal knowledge of, some public works jobs, if you will. In Springfield, we recently had West 4th Street brick restoration. And although I'm thankful for it, the project was not done properly. With the as-builts, it doesn't match what it should be, things of that nature. We have some small issues of water ponding instead of flowing. And the concrete, the sidewalks that they did, they stamped them in Springfield, and they look like a third grader did it, things of that nature. And they did have a third-party inspector, VIA or something like that, that was responsible for making sure that everything was done properly. But my concern here is that the third-party inspector may say it's great, but what happens when it's not? Which I have brought up many times, and nothing is done. So, I've personally seen this type of issue in Springfield. I'm sure it's happening all over the city as well. These third-party inspectors don't have any skin in the game, if you will. So I think that would probably maybe come into play when Public Works comes and talks to us. But I just wanted to put that on the record that is definitely something that I have seen.
That's exactly what I was curious about, particularly when we were talking about the process that they use, because if there's no policies and procedures for how they handle these public works contracts, I'm really interested to see the contracts or the scope of work that they have with a third-party
inspectors
yeah. that they use, because depending on the consistency of whatever that scope is for those vendors, it may be different terms. And you may not necessarily get the same quality of work depending on where they are. They could be awesome. I don't know. But these council reports, which, by the way, I'm very appreciative of, kind of put a lens to make you wonder that question, especially based on your experience.
Did you have any more comments on the audit?
But yep.
Sure. Councilman Day.
I move to reconsider my previous motion.
I'll second your.
The reason I'm making this motion to reconsider is that once we get this back on the floor, I would like to then amend the motion and ask Public Works to come and address your concerns at that meeting in September. So my motion, as I would restate it, is that we invite the Director of Public Works and a subordinate who has knowledge of contract administration come and speak to us on that general topic, and specifically on the 4th Street reconstruction. Is that what it
restoration
was?
Restoration.
Restoration.
Yeah.
That was between Main and how far west did it go?
Pearl. It was three blocks.
Okay. All right. So that's my motion restated.
So the motion is to invite
Well, no. First, the motion is to reconsider the previous motion. And
which
then
has been seconded.
And then if you approve that, then he can make a new motion.
So there's been a motion made and seconded to reconsider Commissioner Day's previous motion. Any more comments on it? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried.
So now, now that that motion has been reconsidered, I would like to restate and amend the motion to where the previous motion's content of inviting the Director of Public Works and an appropriate subordinate to come and speak to us on the topic of contract administration by Public Works, and for them to also specifically address the 4th Street restoration project from Main to Pearl. That is my motion.
Second.
So there's a motion made and seconded for the previous motion with additional have someone to discuss the 4th Street restoration project that Commissioner Pryor spoke about. Is there any other comments on it?
That seemed to be appropriate. I mean, does that address the issue? Let's talk about the generalities, and then we have a specific example.
Right. Right.
I think
I can speak to it. Yes.
And you have knowledge that there are problems, and you think that the problems might stem from how the inspections were done. Is that the gist of it?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so, because it had they inspected and compared it to what the original specs were supposed to be for drainage, then we wouldn't have this issue. You know, I think their calculations too were off, because it's not a curb and gutter drainage; it's brick, and so you need more of a slope in order to help with that drainage down to the storm drains. But that being said, the as-builts themselves show that there are dips in the road.
So if there's no more comments, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. No more about audits. So let me back up a little bit on the public comment. A young man walked in. Have you got a public comment? You just here to spectate? Well, good. Glad to have you. Would you like to introduce yourself? Good to have you, and it's great that you're here, man.
What high school?
I'm homeschooled.
Oh, cool.
Your home school is Atlantic Coast, is that correct?
Yes, I'm right by Atlantic Coast.
Are you 18 yet?
17. When do you turn 18? February.
Good to have you.
You have to be a registered voter to be a member of the commission, I think.
I think it's just a resident.
I don't remember seeing that in the policy and procedures, but I'm not.
Well, it would be in the ordinance itself.
Okay.
Qualifications.
Let me comment on the audit committee. I came in at 3:30, meet Mr. Carter, went over it, and like you, I had some questions also. Mm-hmm. They seem to be doing a great job following up or, you know, catching the issues. Let's just hope that they get followed up and get them corrected, but overall, I think the audit department did a good job. That's my. So I think we ought to go with the suggestions that they had.
I just had a question. So once the audit is provided, and I see that the Counselor Auditor's Office has made recommendations, they are just that, recommendations, are they not? Yes.
Yes, they are. But we also will follow up on the recommendations in about 18 months to see if they've implemented the recommendations. If they haven't, we'll write another report and say, okay, these recommendations have been implemented, these have not, and we'll keep following up until they recommend them or we come to a point to where there have been, it's rare where, you know, technology makes the recommendation obsolete, or it becomes too much of a cost benefit. It is really a cost to the benefit to But that's very, very rare. More often than not, they will have all the recommendations.
So the next one, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. So is it a recommendation or is it a requirement?
It's a recommendation. We're part of the city council, the legislative side. So the administration side, executive branch, makes policies. So we make recommendations, and as well as pointing out where the policies are not being followed or if they need to add to. So our audits are we recommend.
I'm just trying to get clarification here because you say that you follow up in 18 months to see if they've implemented, and if they haven't, you write it up again. So
what they've agreed to implement.
I'm just trying to understand what, you know, it's just a recommendation. I mean, I'm all about take responsibility, do, you know, A, B, C, and D. You've been told to do A, B. Did you do A, B? Nope, I did A, B, and D. You know, that kind of thing. So. Go ahead.
On the recommendations as well, we get the auditee's agreement, partially agree, or they disagree. If they disagree, we try to work into come to find common ground to where there can be some agreement to get the recommendation done. So we pointed out, so in our audits, if we point out an issue and the auditee agrees there's an issue, they agree with our recommendation to correct the issue. And so so that's what we do is we say, okay, you agreed to do this. We give them 18 months because, you know, people are busy and it takes time to get things done. And then we follow up. And like I said, it's some, like with the 763C, the JTA, you know, it takes three follow-ups. The first audit was done in 15, and we followed up in 18, 21, and 23. So it's, you know, but the third one, they finally fixed, you know, the issue. So it takes time, we don't have a hammer we can, you know, hold over their head or anything like that. So.
Well, let me. 8 years.
Yeah.
So, do you report to the chair of the finance committee these
Correct.
Audits?
Correct.
What do the chairs of the finance committees typically do? Just sit there and listen to you, and then go out and play golf somewhere?
Well. I'm not always listening to the finance committee when the council auditor presents it, so I'm not sure. And she meets, of course, with them prior to, so I'm not sure of their reaction. There have been questions before on certain ones. Certain will ask questions of, you know, what's the issue? Sometimes they'll bring the administration up and say, what's the problem?
In the case of the JTA, this is an independent authority.
It is.
And the council does have oversight of that budget.
They have appropriation authority over the
Correct.
Budget. Correct.
So it would seem to me that during the next 6 weeks as we go through the budget process, it would be wonderful if one of the members of the finance committee, as they're hearing the budget requests of the independent authorities, has knowledge of these various audits. Does the council auditor provide that information to the finance committee as they go through the budget process for the independent authorities?
As far as any outstanding audits?
Just the results of the audits in general. I mean, I would think that would be a topic that could be reviewed.
That's not brought up usually in the finance committee. It's not part of our presentation.
Kim, when you guys were walking in, I was kind of asking him the same thing. Well, how far back how long have you been doing audits, and do they ever get better, you know, as you do the next
audit?
I guess that's yet to be seen. You would hope they wouldn't keep making these same mistakes, especially with, quite frankly, taxpayers' dollars.
So,
give it a couple of years.
I assume that you have some type of tracking mechanism for the audits that are done. The agency or department that the audit was done on, and the recommendations that were made, and the date. Correct?
That's correct.
Can you? I think that it might be good for us to have access to that report to know how many agencies are have been given recommendations, when that recommendation was given, and what the current status is. Is that something you can provide?
I don't know. I'll have to ask.
Well, you would have to probably go through each audit ever done and go through it.
Members, you think of something none of us have thought of before.
There's got to be a way for you to track it.
It's tracked. I'm just not sure of how it's. I'd have to find out from the audit manager.
Well, can I ask you this to maybe add some more clarity? So maybe it'll help. In the system that you guys use to track all of your audits, are there specific key terms that you use that the system recognizes for you to be able to do searches on certain things that you track? Or is it more basic when you interact with it about a department, a report that you've done, and then when you see the write-up where it has specific action items, are those what's identified in the system to track it? Or...
I don't interact with that system rarely, if at all. I'm in the special projects part of our office. I know it's, I believe it's an access database. So, I'm not sure how it's kept in there. So, I can find out.
Will you find out? I don't think so.
I'll ask.
Okay.
If it's possible to get that report before the next meeting, that would be great. Give us an opportunity to review it.
I'm sure if he finds it, Mr. Clemens will email it to everyone. So the next one is legislative tracking. I know that Carter Jones was on that committee. Is anybody else
on
the committee?
No, we're going to do that, and I haven't had a chance to look at anything.
There was one thing I wanted, and it kind of relates to the previous motion that I made with the invitation of the chief of procurement. Put my cards on the table so that way it's on the record. The reason why I'm really... The reports are going to be a good portion of the questions. But one particular portion I'm really interested in is partly because of contract administration. And in the ordinance proposal, for your reference, everyone, it's 2023-20. It's been basically deferred for the last half year. It was originally proposed by Leanna Cumber. Then it kind of kept on getting deferred. And then Council President Salem mentioned, I think, at the first council meeting, or it was the first rules committee meeting, that it was something that he was interested in and that he was going to have some workshops or whatever to kind of discuss it further. So it's being continually deferred at the request of the administration, also by Council President Salem. But the one section that I think could be definitely more robust is the section that deals with contract administration, but also contract oversight. So it has this section that says that that they will develop, implement, and administer a contract administration certification program for city employees subject to available funds and staff, which the last one tells you it's only going to happen unless it's funded. That's the creative language on that one. I think it can be much robust. And honestly, I'm a big fan when it comes to following a process that's already established that all of us should be aware of, or at least they should be aware of, and that's the state. They have a really robust program that I think they can kind of mimic what's in state statute of what they do, because in state statute, it has a specific definition of what defines a contract manager, what type of contracts they administer, because it's based on a value that's attached to it. So if it's a contract that's more than $100,000, then you have to assign a contract manager. It can't be someone that previously worked for that specific vendor in the past within a certain period. And there's all these types of requirements that just makes it much more established. But the part that also has me a little interested, on the contract administration side, it has a section about how they'll only assign contract managers for contracts that the IG or the, it looks like, identified by the Office of Inspector General that is a high-risk contract, which with when I was chairman, and we've had this kind of discussion with the Inspector General Selection Retention Committee meeting, they're in the process of trying to hire contract oversight people or specialists that can kind of help them on that level, but they haven't quite got there. But in addition to that, only having them for certain high-risk contracts, that's great for high-value ones, but a lot of times it's the ones that are under the surface that no one ever pays attention to that are the ones that have the issue. So I'm curious as to why we're using that as a standard as opposed to a dollar value, because I think that's more in line with what the industry, particularly in the public sector, would look at. So that's in the piece of legislation that's pending. Love to talk to the chief about that, because I think that section can be beefed up a lot better than what it is. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, on that subject, President Salem came to the committee meetings this week and asked the chairs of the four committees that bill is assigned to devote half an hour in each of their committees next week, or in 2 weeks, for the administration to make a presentation on what's in that bill. So I presume that they will all agree to do that. Somebody from procurement and someone else, there were two people were going to come and make presentations to each of the four committees where that bill is pending.
So with that in mind, and because we won't have the chief until October, would you suggest if a commissioner is interested in it that they probably should speak at those meetings or observe them?
You can certainly watch them. They're streaming online or they're on public access TV, so watch one of the four committees. I'm sure it'll be the same thing for each of them, but you might, I mean, unless you want to hear the questions that may come up in one committee versus another.
Do you know the four?
Sorry?
Do you know the four committees it's assigned to?
Yeah, I'm sure it's finance, rules, TEU, and NCSPHS. The only one would not be is LUZ.
I don't know that you can speak as a true commissioner, but you could probably speak as in public,
yeah,
for public
just
anyway.
Just disclose that you're a member of the true commission, but you're not there to speak on behalf of the true commission.
Right. Yeah. That's in the policies and procedures.
It is. I guess you have to be careful when you're out speaking. So the chair's comments, well, the chair's not here, and I wasn't prepared, so I don't really have any. I'm excited about this coming year and doing stuff. And
move we defer chair's comments until the next monthly meeting.
Second. Yeah, there just are none. We'll just say there are none. Old business, CIP discussion. New business, the bylaw revision. The bylaws are here, but I would like, I think they were supposed to have been voted on really last month. I would like to push that out until next month because we're missing both the chairman and one of the other commissioners push it out to next month. I don't know there needs to be a motion.
I presented the bylaws for people to review them during the hiatus.
Right.
And they were going to be brought back today for consideration. I don't know that we need to have the chair or the other commissioner here in order to vote on this.
That's 25% are gone. Let's defer it till next month. If somebody don't show up next month, then we just can't keep doing it.
Yes. All right. So I'll move that we. I'll move that we table consideration of the bylaws revision until our September meeting.
Second. So there's a motion second to table the bylaws discussion and revision until September meeting.
That's a non-debatable motion.
Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. On your business, it's not really on here, but so everybody got the policies and procedures? I was able to read them all, and there's lots of stuff in there, lots of good stuff. But let me ask you, is somebody from this commission supposed to be attending the budget meetings? If you look at, does anybody got the?
I don't have it in front of me now. Is there a provision that?
Well, it's every month it has something. It says monthly. Let's see, commission reviews the mayor's proposed budget. An ad hoc committee is assembled necessary for detailed budget review for legislative tracking. Third quarter chairperson, commissioners attend city budget meetings if scheduled. Commissioner appointed CPAC representatives should also attend the corresponding, for the neighborhood. So I don't know if somebody, you guys have been this longer than I have.
Attended the budget hearings, because in 20 everything was COVID driven and nobody went anywhere and everything was done virtually.
If I remember correctly, we adopted that in 18 or 19, and then that's when we revised. And then when we gained consensus, the next applicable time we would have done it was during COVID. So then we just kind of suggested at the time for people just to watch them online when Jeff kind of gave us a heads up that they were about to happen and that the schedule was available on the website. So we haven't lived up to what we said that we wanted to do in the policy.
Okay. Do we want to keep it like that, or does somebody want to attend them?
I have them on my calendar.
I was going to watch them virtually.
I don't know that I'll be able to attend them all, but I have watched them in the past, and I will just tell you that, in general, I think that the level of scrutiny of the budget proposal submitted by the mayor, who is now departed, has been extremely questionable. It's been lackadaisical. I will frame it that way. I honestly do not believe the city council has been giving the budget proposals the scrutiny that should be given, and I don't know that the city council has ever exercised any oversight of the city budget, to my knowledge. I may be wrong on that, but maybe some of you could clarify.
I'll use different language. I will say that from my observation, when council is reviewing the budget, it is structured in a way where a department chief or the CEO or budget director of an independent agency will come up and give a presentation that's very high level on what the budget is that they're requesting. And then it's really on that council member that's on the finance committee to ask the difficult questions that they may have based on their review. Some council members in the past can be very thorough. I would say the two that I know in my mind that I can always say that were probably the most thorough were probably Councilwoman Boyer and Councilman Crescenbeny. They were known through their 10 years to really ask very difficult, detailed questions. Some do it in their own kind of way. They may have those conversations offline in their office, so the committee meetings are less robust than what you would kind of assume. It really kind of depends on the subject. That's just been my experience. Some are really quick and easy. Some, like KHA last time, the last two times, especially when former Council President Aaron Bowman was Council President, really put them through the ringer to really be interested about how they were doing micro grants in contract administration. So a lot of times it really depends on what's happening in the day or in the news that kind of add a layer of focus. But Jeff, you've been to almost every finance committee meeting for the last probably, what, 2-3 decades. So you know more than anyone else. Although you may have a different way that you describe it.
34 years with the city last week.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. It is a very structured process. There are 7 meetings. The departments and divisions and independent authorities are laid out in a calendar. They've got 20 minutes for this. They've got 50 minutes for that. They have 2.5 hours for another thing. The auditors go through the budgets with a fine-tooth comb, comparing the proposed budget to the prior year's budget, double-checking all of the assumptions, the revenue and expenditure projections. How are we going 3/4 of the way through the fiscal year? Does it look like we're going to hit the numbers at the end? And then, really, as Mr. Henry said, they make their presentations on the numbers. What's different? Is anything changing? Are they doing something different, adding something, taking away something? How many employees are they adding or deleting? And then they move along. It's up to an individual council member, if they have a particular question about something, to bring it up and get the department head to come up or a representative of the mayor's office to come talk about something. It varies from year to year depending on what the hot topic is. One year it might be the sheriff, another year it's KHA. But the vast majority of finance hearings is pretty much the auditor makes their presentation, everybody nods, and if nobody has a question, we move along because they've got to get the whole budget covered in 7 sessions. And so they keep it moving.
I would make one observation, especially if you look how the legislature does the budget and how city council kind of manages it. I think probably one of the key differences as to why you may see a different experience, especially with how back and forth they go back and on the state level, is the governor or the mayor proposes their budget, but when it comes to the legislature, they're much more hands-on in terms of the development of what that budget looks like because they use it as an opportunity for them to kind of fund projects that they're interested in within their individual districts. On a council level, at least from what I've observed, they may create buckets for themselves so that way they kind of fund a project or a council-wide initiative that they want to do. But I haven't seen them kind of really dig in on the department level to kind of do the same thing.
Because it's according to the charter, the budget is proposed by the mayor. It's the mayor's job to draft a balanced budget and put it before council, and then they take it from there. So it's unlike the legislature in that, they may be privately lobbying the mayor to, hey, how about put some, as you said, put pots of money in here for this or that that we can then divvy up later on for things that we're trying to get done. But really, they don't have all that much influence over what the proposed budget looks like. It's their job to do with it as they will after it comes over.
I remember I was appointed to the very first Charter Revision Commission in 1973. And the population of Jacksonville at that point was probably somewhere in the high 500,000s, maybe the low 500,000s. And I remember that I believe that the combined city budget for the city and all of the independent agencies was around $700 million, if I'm correct. And that's just, and that might be the combined city budget, but that number sticks in my mind. Now, that is 50 years ago. All right. And the process of the budget review was identical to what we're doing now. When the city budget is what, $1.755 billion is proposed by Mayor Deegan. And we are now a city in excess, at this point, in excess of 1 million people. We were 995,000. I'm sorry, we were 995,567 at the census. And we're still doing it the way we did it at the inception of consolidation. And consolidation will be 55 years this coming October. That a 20-minute review, you know, and these are part-time council members. Tommy, do they have enough information provided by the council auditor's office? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do any of them ever complain that they need more information? Or are they just happy to get this done and move on to the... And I don't want you to go on record saying things that are, make you feel uncomfortable. I'm curious as to why we still do things the same way we did 50 years ago.
Me personally, I've never heard any complaints. I'll just say it that way.
Okay. Lobby individually.
Well, explaining their budget to them. Budgets are different than the city's. So it's a process. They get a lot of information. The council members, they're not just handing it to them cold. They have time to look at it.
They have some prep time.
Can I, without directly saying a council member, one I hear consistently, particularly when it talks about CIP, is the way that it's presented, especially when you get the binder. Lovely binders. But when they get it, there's no key of knowing how many CIP projects are in their district. They have to individually go through it. Because it identifies it for the, and you tell me if I start saying something that's incorrect, by the way. But it identifies it on the sheet for every project for what council district it is and what it is. But if I were a council member, I want to say, I want to be able to get all the list of all the projects that are individual within my district. Does the budget office kind of create that from the very beginning so that way they don't have to go through the entire CIP for them to identify what's in it and what isn't for their district?
My understanding is that they have done that for the past couple of years.
They can sort it by council.
Council members get the big book of all the projects, and they also get an individual listing of what's in their district because they always ask, so they've decided to just go ahead and do it, knowing that they're going to ask for it anyway. So that's my understanding, was that...
Well, that's why you're here to keep me safe.
At least when Teresa Eichner was running the CIP, that she was producing lists for each district council member.
She's still here.
She's now working for the city council.
Oh, good, good, good. Working with Scott.
Mm-mm. No.
She's a chief.
Oh, no, Scott is... No. Okay.
Scott's now working for the
liaison.
Mayor.
He's liaison, yes, okay.
She's the chief of what's...
Public information for the
council. Or the city council.
For the council.
Oh, okay.
Running the website and the technology and all of these rooms and all of that sort of thing.
Okay.
Dealing with the media.
All right.
I have a question. I thank you for referring to this because I've had this question for years now. So it's a good opportunity for me to ask.
Are we on the policy and procedures?
Yes, within the policy and the procedures. And for August, which is the upcoming, talking about the budget, it does say that the commission reviews the mayor's proposed budget. It does say that we do that. And it also says that we have the ability to make recommendations to the city council, mayor's office, so on and so forth. So one question is, if within this process that we felt there should be maybe a change in how it is reviewed or how it is looked at, is that within our purview that if we had the information that we could make that recommendation?
But you said, Jeff, earlier that the committee meetings for finance mm-hmm. and the review would be done by the end of August, you said?
They begin next Thursday. They meet beginning on August 10th. They meet Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And still in seven sessions,
9 to 5, and then they're done on August.
Maybe 40 hours of review.
They are done on August 25th.
So if we have suggestions or improvements that the commission would want to suggest, we'd have to get that to them before the last.
Certainly want to get it in before. Then the last day is the wrap-up session. When, yes, do they schedule things in the morning? They might have a few things scheduled in the morning of that last day, and then the last afternoon is for them to wrap up anything that's outstanding, get the answers to any questions, anything they've put off earlier in the process, waiting to get a response back from a department or something. That's also the meeting at which, take a step back. Throughout the process, they keep a running tab at the end of every meeting of how much money they have adjusted in the budget during the course of that day. They find something was double counted, so we only count it once and we put that money aside in a special contingency fund. And when they get to the end of the last day, that's when they allocate whatever is left in that contingency fund to whatever the group decides they want to do. And other council members can come in on that last day and make a pitch or something that they would like to see that money allocated towards. And the Finance Committee votes on it that day and then sends it on to the council the next week. Some years it's as little as $300,000 or $400,000 to be divvied up. Some years it's been as much as $3 or $4 million to be up.
So do we need, if somebody has an, if they're watching or has an issue or comment, do they need to let you know and you pass it on? Or do we need to contact our councilman? Or do we need to have a special meeting before our next meeting?
Well, it depends on whether you want to act corporately as the commission to make a recommendation or if you just have a personal recommendation that you would like to make to your council member or to the full finance committee is the best way to do it, and your council member if they're not on finance. But if you wanted as a group to take a position on something, then you would need to schedule a meeting and vote on it and then transmit that motion to the Finance Committee.
You guys want to do that? Or?
If I just have a quick question. I know it's online, the budget and everything, but it's really difficult for me to review something of that massive thing online. Can we get that in hard copy?
They quit doing hard copies. It's all online now. So
even to city council members?
The council members get a physical book, but nobody else does.
I'm requesting it. Can I request one?
You could request it of the budget office, and they will probably say it's online. We don't print books anymore.
They may charge you by the page.
I don't get them anymore. I used to get a physical book to keep in the library every year, and that I don't get
it. But you can print it out.
You are trying.
I suppose I could.
I know it's hundreds of pages. So my little home printer is not going to be able to.
Yeah, it's 340 pages. 340? Mm-hmm. That's just the budget, not the CIP.
How many pages is the CIP?
You're asking me hard questions.
Probably about the same.
It's downloading, but I can tell you in a second. I like electronic because that way I can do key searches, which I have a question for you after we get you done because I don't want to lose track of your concern. It is, keep on pressing the wrong button, open in downloads, there it is, 415.
So total of about 800.
You're right.
I can see why they stopped printing them.
So did y'all want to have a special meeting or just make your own calls to your councilman if you...
We could do, we can have it on... One suggestion, if we go that route, is we can just have it scheduled unnoticed, and then you can determine based on whoever submits something that they want to be addressed, decide whether or not we have it, and if no one submits something, then you can just ask Jeff to cancel it. So at least it's noticed so that way we don't have to wait the so many days to notice it if someone brings something up closer to the end.
I mean, I have an item that I have discussed with the administration, and I have discussed with council members relating to the Jacksonville Community Council, the old JCCI, which went dormant in 2016. We brought it back in 2021, and I am requesting it's approximately $260,000, I think, to fund JCCI starting April 1st. 2024 through the balance of the fiscal year. I'm on the board and we're still going through the reactivation process. So I would be happy to meet at a special meeting so that I could present that and anybody else could present other items. I do believe if we presented this to the finance committee as a recommendation of the commission, I think it might carry more weight than us acting individually.
Personally, particular date you guys want to meet?
Based on the schedule, Jeff, because you have it in front of, well, you're the one that probably has it, can get it faster. If you were us, is there a meeting that you think would be the last opportunity from your experience for us to just suggest something? I don't want to assume that it's the last day catch-all, but...
Are you staffing?
I am, yes.
So he's not available on Thursdays. So we'd have to meet a different day of the week.
Oh, no. I'm not saying in the sense of for us to meet on the same day. I'm saying so that will help us figure out at what point during the month that it makes more sense for us to meet.
Something like JCCI, I'm not sure really where that would fall. Budget calendar. I would do it as soon as you can get organized to do it.
Better.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably, I would think what you would want to do is to propose it as early as possible and then try to round up a finance committee member or another council member to at the very least go bring it up at that final wrap-up meeting if there is money to be appropriated to some good cause and make the pitch for that cause then.
And of course, my favorite subject of all is fully funding the sheriff's office. And they're only getting 80 new positions, 40 from the federal grant, 40 from the city. And as you recall, when we adopted that proposal a year ago, it was 148 positions, new positions every year to close the gap, the assumed gap. Analysis that I presented, 765 positions, and then adding that, funding that over an eight-year time frame, plus 52 new positions every year to account for the approximately 20,000 new residents a year that are coming into the city. And that would get us to the 2.73 LEOs per 1,000 people by, I think, the 2030-2031 budget year, I believe, was the time frame.
Would that be something that the auditor's office would catch if it hasn't kept up with what was required?
Well, that's policy. So it's not required. It's whatever the policymakers decide.
Over the previous years, the previous mayor would, on occasion, request 40 new officers, I think, is magic number. And I don't know if that's because that was what could be funded by the federal grant. And then I think that's a three-year funding cycle, and then at that point it has to be absorbed by the city. And I'm not sure why that number just sticks in my mind. But the analysis that I did and we adopted a year ago identified the goal of getting to 2.73 plus the population growth. And that's how the 148 positions a year came up. And the average cost over the 8 years, beginning at about $14.8 million, aggregating up to about, I think, right at $19 million, the average per year was about $16 million over the 8 year time frame. So it was about $132 million. Program over 8 years.
So, Jeff, was there a time that we could have a meeting that would?
When are you available to staff?
Let me check the calendar here.
So you just cannot wait to do another meeting.
Is there a day of the week that you prefer?
I propose.
I'm good any day.
It would be easier for me. The hearings start on Thursday the 10th, so those Thursdays and Fridays, and then the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of the third week is not good for me.
I suggest Wednesday the 16th at 4 p.m.
I've got an election advisory panel at 3 o'clock in this room on that day. It'll be their first time with Jerry Holland back as supervisor, so probably an hour to an hour and a half.
That's safe.
All right, then what about the previous day?
15th.
August the 15th at 4 p.m.
get the council calendar here and check the rooms.
Is that committee week?
That is committee week, yes.
Do you staff committees?
I do finance committee in the morning.
Okay, so LUZ is the afternoon, correct?
Yeah. And TEU is in the afternoon. Well, probably the next go round I will, because one of my folks is leaving me for another job. So he will be Matt Carlucci's ECA.
He got poached. I think it says his ECA went to work for
the mayor. There's the one. There's the one I'm looking for. Hang on here. The 14th. Yeah, let's go to the 14th. See what we got there.
Got to go out I-10 though, don't you?
I can get there in 30 minutes. I'm just going to Lane Avenue.
So. Oh, that sounds.
Actually, Wilson. Senior Center is where I'm going to. So.
Okay.
There's a number of different ways to get there.
Yeah.
Is the 15th from 4 to 5? I'm sorry, Monday the 14th from 4 to 5 p.m. workable for everybody?
Yeah. Monday the 14th. Four to five, I could do that.
Does anybody else have money they want to spend besides me?
I have questions. If I propose anything, it would probably be in regards to procurement, and that's not until the 17th, so it works out great.
But are you going to require some additional money in the budget for your proposal?
No, it's probably going to be a recommendation.
So you're really looking at a policy.
I like the printed.
Me too.
Trying to scroll through.
And the online stuff. Well, since we're in an open meeting, and I would just ask that you remember that report that we did here.
Yeah, I've looked at that, and that's actually when I saw what was going on with the proposal for police officers. I report from that church came to my mind.
Yeah.
Will the meeting be in this room?
Yes.
Jeff, can you, I know it has to go out public also, but can you send the commissioners, because not everybody's here, can you send us all, as soon as you can, an email about this meeting so they have a heads up?
And I will send in a pager on JCCI showing the proposed budget and how the first, it's roughly half of 500 and something thousand. So say it's 270. Maybe it's half of 540. I can show that that will be the requested appropriation for fiscal 23-24 and then in the out years. And I have been given assurances by the administration that they would be willing to propose the full budgets starting in the next fiscal year. Fine. Oh, everybody agrees that JCCI is important and is needed, but it's just so difficult to crank this thing back up after having been dormant for 5 years.
I think we had talked about last meeting some kind of a budget to, if you need somebody else to.
That's another point.
To help him do research or something.
Commission, I think, should be one staff person should be able to do this, don't you think, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, so I'll go. There's something I was looking at the budget and I was just curious about, and then I went back to the earliest budget you can find on the city website, and it looks like we've just been doing it forever. Is there on the budget? In the budget, there is the I'm not sure if it's a division or a department or where the office kind of falls, but it's the office of advisory boards and commissions. But it seems like they're only responsible for really managing the
mayors.
No. It's just the civil service board and the construction and trades related one. That's the only functions that they serve. Is there a reason why that's the only things that they manage and not all the other boards and commissions that don't fall on city council, so it's really up to the administration to kind of manage?
I think the reason that they exist in the budget is because they have staff. And that's where they land for budget purposes. All of the other boards and commissions either are staffed out of the mayor's office or the council. And don't have full-time staff and budgets. They're just part of somebody's time.
So if we ever in the future wanted to recommend a more organized effort for boards and commissions to have support, even if it's not just us, but in general, would that theoretically be a good place for it to land, in your opinion, or?
I would have to look at that. We'd probably have to ask the auditors if they thought that was the best place for it to be. But I'm not really familiar with it other than, like you said, there's only the two entities that fall in there, and I can presume that it's because they have staff and therefore need a budget for salaries and benefits. And
yeah, right now I think it's like an administrator and like three or four staff members that are at the Yates building.
Right. So, yeah, if you were looking for staff for a person for another board or commission, that would seem like a logical place to put it.
Or boards and commissions in general.
Well, yeah, that's another thought. Like I said, that currently the way it works is anything that the city council appoints people to, like the TRU Commission or the Election Advisory Panel, that's our staff. And all of the other, the mayor's council on whatever it may be, all fall under his shop. And so people from the planning department, you know, support the CPACs and that sort of thing.
But then there's some commissions that kind of fall off the radar no one ever pays attention to because they don't have support like you. It's not always televised. It's not always recorded. There's not always a readily available place on the website for you to get minutes. So it's, unless you physically show up because you happen to see the notice, it kind of goes off into the ether as if it doesn't exist.
It's entirely possible.
Are there other, you know, maybe in reality, I'm not sure that we could justify a full person for the TRU Commission, but certainly half a person or... Would there be other commissions that new position could help staff that might gain a little bit more political traction in getting the council to fund the extra position, but have that position funded out of the legislative services, or where would be the appropriate place to fund it? Because TRU Commission it's a city commission. It's created by ordinance. The Charter Revision Commission is created by ordinance. How many of them have staff?
Very few. I think part of it is the reason that I staff this entity is because that's what the chapter of the code that created it said it will be supported by the city council staff.
In your opinion, how much time really should be devoted to this commission by the city council staff?
That depends entirely on how active you want to be. If you want to have regular monthly meetings and appoint committees that all meet on a monthly basis and do research projects that require...
We might need a full person.
Staff time. If you get, 16 or 18 members and break off into multiple committees...
Ron assured me he was willing to appoint the council president positions, and that would give us those six. I know I'm working on the Arlington Beaches CPAC to get their position filled, and then one more CPAC.
I was going to ask you guys.
Are you a member of that CPAC?
Well, I'm about to be. I don't live in a community, per se.
Right.
Live down the road,
but
right?
You can be a member of CPAC if you have a business. You just get your business approved.
Well, I believe that Councilman Freeman.
Yes, you can.
I'm in his at-large group.
That's right.
And he sponsored me to become a member. And since we're on that subject, which one are you a member of?
Southeast.
Which one are you, Ms. Bell? I know the North doesn't have one. Matter of fact, our meeting is next Wednesday, and I was going to bring it up to them. So so which one's left then? So you got North.
Arlington Beach, the Great so North Arlington and, Beaches CPAC.
The North and Arlington Beaches.
Is there a West?
I think there's only six.
There's six. One, two, three, four, five. Okay.
Yeah.
North and Arlington.
So I'm going to talk to our CPAC about selecting somebody. Hopefully the council president will.
I have two names that I will be sending to Ron tomorrow.
Right.
It would be great, to have a fully Jeff, remember when this commission was formed in, 87? Because I came back from D.C. in 88, and Tommy appointed me. I think I joined it relatively early in the process. And who was the other guy that started about the same time you did?
Jordan Logue.
Is he still with the city?
No.
Okay.
No, he's retired.
But you were both working on the True Commission. Or at least
possibly. I worked for him. He was the council staff director at the time.
Okay. All right.
Or no, he was the chief of research then, and I was a research assistant at the time. He moved up and I moved up.
So early on, there were two people staffing this commission, probably in addition to other duties. But so I think if we were to do the organization like I'm proposing, where we do taxes and revenues, and then a utilization of expenditures sort of structure, I think we could fully justify a dedicated staff person. I'll bring that to the floor.
We can talk about it that next week.
Yeah, and I'll have a proposal. Jeff, if you could give me an idea of the salary ranges that we would be asking for, and then how to fund benefits, what formula they use for benefits and that kind of stuff, and I'll put it into a form of a motion. And I'll have a motion on the sheriffs, a motion on JCCI, and a motion on the staffing.
What are your three motions going to be?
One will be
funding the sheriff.
Staffing
the True Commission.
You would need, typically you would create a new position. Unless you'd increase the employee cap, unless there were other positions available that were being phased out for some reason. Could be moved. If a department was downsizing by a couple of people, they could take that position and transfer it over to wherever you want to put it.
I've said enough. Go ahead. No, this is productive. I mean,
I was fixing to get to those. Well, we'll start this way instead of that way.
Well, all I was going to say is I think we're at a calendar part. I would like for us to start looking.
Has everybody read it recently?
Not recently.
I mean, of course, we just got it, what, after last meeting, and I read it. And I'm like, well, there's a few things not happening, like the on-board committee. and I wasn't sure about the audit committees. I had asked him when's the last time y'all did one, because I don't remember.
The last audit committee meeting was when I was audit committee chair, and that was before I became chair of the commission. Okay. So that would have been 3-4 years ago.
So John was doing legislative track.
Mm-hmm.
Merritt
beforehand.
Commissioner, you got any more comments?
Sir, no, sir.
Comments?
No, I was just going to say I'll probably bring up, and it may dovetail on some of your some of the stuff that you have, Commissioner Day. But I really think that the city should be allocating resources to kind of help with the day-to-day management of advisory boards and commissions. I think that's something that is painfully obvious, especially if you're a member of the public and you're trying to get a assertion of how you can get involved, what meetings are happening, and the consistency of it being updated, especially since if it's managed by city council, it's more likely for you to be able to get your hands onto information. But if it's managed by the mayor's office or a particular department, then it kind of ebbs and flows. And I just think that this is an opportunity, especially with the new administration, and especially since they want to change things, for us to really kind of think of it in a cohesive level. And then I already talked about procurement, so that's another thing. But those are my suggestions for next time.
Well, we do have a person from the neighborhood department who comes and staffs our meetings.
People a day. Yeah, people don't know about
the whole thing. Yeah.
You got anything to comment on before you leave?
70% of us are over 65.
8:14.
I got that on my calendar.
Thank you. No, no. That happens. We're usually finished by 5:30. If not earlier.
The problem I see a lot of times, they want, but they don't want to do.
How most people are.
You have to be able to disseminate.
Mr. Carter, you got anything?
No, sir.
Mr. Clemens, you got anything?
No, sir.
So don't forget the meeting on 8:14, and then our next meeting, September 7th, which we'll vote on the bylaws. And do I need to make a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Or one of you guys make it? Go ahead.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
All rise.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
I went to some meeting and they said, signify your affirmative action by leaving the room.
I've heard people say that before.
Have you heard that?
I have heard that, yes.
All right.
Mr. Carter, so did you say there's not going to be any audits because of the budget coming up? Is there going to be any audits between now and next meeting? So if there's not, we probably don't need to meet for an audit meeting. Is that right? So if there is, we'll get them and he'll set up the date.
Correct. Okay.
Thank you.
All
right.
Co-chair, you did a fine job.
How are you?